When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This week's edition of the Hairy Bikers Agony Uncles was recorded shortly after Si and Dave's rather exciting adventure on the big bus in the Jubilee celebrations.
Hello and welcome to One and All. We are the Agony Uncles. He's Uncle Si and I'm Uncle Dave.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we're national treasures. Oh, recently yes. Come back from the pageant, aren't we?
Yes, darling.
Yeah.
I waved.
Tash was with us as well on the bus.
She was.
She was, yes, my lovely wife. Yeah, it was great, wasn't it?
Oh, it was epic. I've never been on a bus for ages. I enjoyed that bit as well.
No, it was pure great. Coincidence that my hat matched Paddington Bear's.
You know what we missed, though?
I know.
If you took your hat off and you had a marmalade sandwich on, we would have got an OBE.
I know. Well, we got better than that. It was quite empowering, wasn't it?
Oh, was that big? Wasn't
wow,
it?
Going to Trafalgar Square. Oh, it was magic. But for me, you know, it was. We had a bus. It was dead funny. It was like, you know, everybody said, look, party beforehand, didn't we, for a while. And then you wonder who's on your bus. Mo Farah was on our bus. And we did the Mo Bot with Mo, didn't we?
We Mo Farah.
Deborah Meaden was on our bus. Gokwan was Master of Ceremonies.
He was, yeah.
Brian Connolly was on our bus.
Sally Gunnell.
Sally Gunnell. Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Dame Kelly Holmes.
Yes, Dame, yeah.
It was a really cool bus. Oh, and Heston Blumenthal.
Yes.
Yeah. He was having such a lovely time.
You could say that, aye.
Three Michelin stars. And do you know, the funny thing is, we got back to the hotel afterwards, I've got to tell you this, and who's in the lobby? Michelle Roux Jr., darling. Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Hello.
So
boys.
We just thought we've cuddled six Michelin stars in one day. Not bad for two humble cooks.
Not bad, dude.
Nah,
not
no.
Bad. Not no. Bad.
I know which ones I prefer.
Yeah.
Which ones? Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Means us.
Oh, does she? Oh.
Yeah.
That's because she's management.
You can come on our bus anytime, posh. Yeah.
Oh, I was very grateful to be on that bus, I can tell you.
I know. What did you say at the school gates this morning?
Oh, I didn't know. Everyone goes, how was your weekend? What did you do for the Jubilee? I was a bit like, oh, yeah. Not much. No street party for me. No. Of course I didn't. I told everyone what I did. I mean, never guess what
I was. Of course you did. Yeah. I was at the 2000 bus. Buckingham Palace, you know.
Who was that?
The telly.
Who was the lovely Olympian that was at the back? Who was a really lovely lady?
Oh, lovely. Yes. Quite quiet.
Very quiet.
Very quiet, but again, another...
She was lovely. I had lovely. A chat to her. She was yeah. Lush. Absolutely lush.
So many great people. I did quite like looking across the bus, though. To the Kate Moss, the Naomi Campbell, the Charlotte Tilbury. That was quite a bus, wasn't it, on the other side as well?
Yeah, that was a wild bus, that one.
Just as well that bus wasn't busted, I tell you. That's all I'm saying.
Our bus was great, though.
Yeah.
It was a fun bus. But by God, it did make your heart lurch, didn't it, when you're going through the streets?
I thought I was really emotional.
It was. It had a lump in my throat,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I was. I couldn't look at you at some points because I was like, and you couldn't look at me. No. The two of us were like, ooh.
Oh, maybe give you a cuddle, I felt better.
Yes.
But what was lovely is, if you pick somebody out in the crowd looking at you, and you blow them a kiss, and they, and they blew one back. And actually, there's so many people there, but you could make contact with individuals. And it was so... I don't know about from their side, if anybody remembers, but it was cool from our side, wasn't it?
It was absolutely immense. I've got to say, one of my favourite moments, there was a granny, and she was right at the front, and she was about 4 foot dot, right? And her flags were going like she was landing a 747. They were going... And then I pointed at her... Blew her a kiss like that. And she got, as you say, she got really excited, blew us a kiss back, and her teeth moved.
Oh,
I was creased. And she was like, oh, bloody hell, my only moment. You could see it was written all over her face. So whoever that is, and if you're listening, darling, you were fabulous.
Yeah, it was some fabulous.
She looked
the
great.
Crowds were fabulous people.
They were. I love watching. I love looking and then seeing when people suddenly recognised who it was. They'd see you guys. They go, it's the Bikers! to Marcus, and there's a lot of reaching, and you notice them, and you wave back, and
yeah, let's not kid ourselves, Tash. It was when they saw Mo Farah and his Mobot. Yeah, that's when people went proper crazy.
Proper nuts.
They did go crazy for Mo. They did, but they saw Mo, had his moment, and they moved on to you. I loved it.
Oh no, it was lovely. You know, without banging the drum, as a pageant, as a Jubilee, it really was diverse. It was inclusive to everybody.
Despite the bloody recent rhetoric, it was fabulous. It was fabulous, and I was proud to be. I was proud to be from this country. It was fabulous because there were so many different faces, creeds, colours, religions, everything. It was brilliant.
All just having a good time.
Yeah.
And you know, 70 years is something remarkable, really.
It's not going to happen again, is it?
Nah.
Amazing thing to be part of.
Well deserved. You are national treasures. You definitely should have been there.
Well, that's sweet of you to say. Thank you.
I doffed me, took me fall off. Shit, I haven't got one anymore. Bloody chemotherapy.
That's a bugger, that, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Yeah. Oh, I bought one of those rotary shavers for my head.
Have you
seen them?
No.
They're head-shaped, like a razor that a fella has, the electric razors.
Oh, yeah.
But the head-shaped.
Like one of those orgasmatron things.
No. It's like this. It's like that bunch of grapes. And you just go...
It's proper fresh.
Yeah, I'll show you afterwards. Oh. Anyway, thanks to all of you who have been in touch. People like Stephanie Rivers.
Oh, no, says,
I listen to your podcast on my phone tucked into my bra, so no one else can hear.
Strange. Thanks, Steph.
You can always buy a case.
As close as I've got for years.
I got funny looks the other week when I talked about your favourite pies. I shouted out, meat and potato, for Christ's sake. It's from Barrow. People around me just stared. Nice one, Steph. You're my girl.
Look, keep them coming because it's totally class. The way you can get in touch with the show is by email, and it's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. That's agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
On the Agony Uncles team today, posing the problems as always, is the Thin White Duke. Hello, Mr. Jeeves. How is one?
One is very well, thank you very much. It was very wonderful to see you on telly over the weekend. And we're still getting nappy-changing nightmares. I don't know if you remember, in episode 13, we had the Poonami problem, which was the...
Sire,
you talked eloquently about how you had issues with nappy-changing. This comes from an anonymous person who says, my husband was sitting opposite his daughter in the kitchen at the table, and she was changing her baby's nappy. When the little cherub peed, it went over my husband's head, straight into his mug of tea... and he drank it without noticing. So, still eliciting happy nappy-changing stories. But none of those today. We've got plenty of problems for you to be solving.
Jolly good. Crumbs. Jolly good. And she's here. The woman that is so posh, she lent most of the royal family her jewellery for the Jubilee celebrations. It's Tash of the poshness. It's posh Tash. Look, see.
How is one?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. We're coming back off cloud nine from yesterday and now solving people's problems and realising
that you can help.
It was funny talking of catering. It was funny because once we're on the bus, there wasn't any. But what had happened is I suddenly realised that you and my good lady had stolen lots of bananas. Honestly, it was like the inside of the chimpanzee house at Regent's Park Zoo. A carrier bag full of bananas.
I'm still finding them. You know, because I had that big bag with us. It was like the inside.
Bananas.
I was. I think I counted eight. Yep. What the hell am I going to do with eight bananas? Well, I'll eat them, I suppose.
I'll make you laugh, because I also had smuggled some in on orders from Lil. Let's get the bananas in. So off we went, ready to feed the monkey sanctuary. And I literally got home last night and opened my bag, and I'd taken my heels off, obviously, to get on the walk home. And I found my red stiletto heels stuffed into the banana. With the banana stuck on the end of it, all brown. It was awful.
That's not very posh, Tash.
No.
That's Gateshead Tash.
That is great set time.
Yeah.
It was. So now let's get on with solving the nation's problems. Our Dave, press that jingle button.
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? Because I heard your advice is the best.
In this week's episode of the Agony Uncles, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash with her banana, you will be passing your non-judgmental judgment on the following issues. Help! I've blown up my kitchen. Uh-huh. The Unwelcome Guest, Part 1. The Unwelcome Guest Part 2.
Ooh.
And My Drunken Disgrace. Oh. But we're going to start with Help, I've Blown Up My Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And this comes from Dave and Anita, who say, Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, could you please help with a home-preserving problem? We need help because we're having to clean the whole kitchen and redecorate. On Friday evening, we had a wine bottle full of homemade plum chili sauce explode. We were just sitting there when, bang, it blew the screw cap off and emptied 4/5 of the bottle all over the kitchen. And yes, it did drip on my head as I was in shock, laughing and starting to work out what to do. I knew it was good, but this proves that it's dynamite, literally. We've nearly finished the cleaning, every square inch by hand, and we're about to start on the repainting and then put the kitchen back together. Any idea what we did wrong? That comes from Dave and Anita. Over to you.
Yeah, it's just started to ferment in the bottle, mm-hmm. and it's blown it to bits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's two ways you can do it. Well, it depends what wine it was. If it was meant to be, you know, it's still fermenting.
No, it wasn't wine, was it?
Was it wine?
Plum, homemade plum chili sauce.
Plum chili sauce.
Oh, it shouldn't be fermenting, then.
No, you should. That's wrong. Don't eat that.
That means you haven't sterilised your jars properly, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And you can sterilise your jars several ways. Best way is to put your jars in the oven for about 20 minutes beforehand. 150. Obviously not so hot it, you know, blows them up. You know, and then you get a nice little rubber ring on the top.
Yeah, you see, the fermentation process will continue really quite gently, but yeah, you've got to kind of stop it before
it shouldn't
that
be fermented
happens.
If it's a chili sauce.
Well, you can have that. I mean, that's what sriracha is, isn't it? A fermented chili sauce.
Yeah.
So you can have all of those fermentation, but you have to stop the fermentation as it goes in. So you've basically bottled it too early. And on top of that, what you've done is you haven't sterilised the jars quite as properly as they should.
And the bottle might not be strong enough to contain one's ferment.
Yes, indeed.
That's what kiln jars are invented for.
Yes.
Can I bring up, though, yesterday you mentioned amazing, there was, I think, let's name drop, it was Heston that started pointing at you two going, you're the fermenting tomato boys. So you're clearly quite good at your fermenting. Fermenting tomato, does then that make sriracha? Is it sriracha? Yes. Is that what it does?
No. Fermented tomatoes, you should do it in kiln jars, proper rubber rings, proper sterilised. What you do is you pack the tomatoes in like a brine, but then you put like leaves in between, and the leaves set up a chemical reaction, a bit like a battery, and ferment the tomatoes. It's great if you've got a glut of tomatoes, as you quite often I had in France. And they're all different colours, so they look great in the jars. But they're so nice on your cheese board, aren't they?
So
good. Got fermented tomatoes, or with, if you want some halloumi cheese and you griddle it, fermented tomatoes on the side. And you can keep that through the winter. It's a really nice little recipe, which I believe is in one of our books.
It is,
or available free on the internet.
I like that. But how long, just quickly, when you start putting them in the jar, how long do you have to leave them before you can then get them out and eat them?
Well, a couple of weeks, but the longer you leave them, you know, a long time. But it does change the flavour. Fermented rhubarb's amazing. We did that in Sweden.
Oh, so good.
And it actually, you know, obviously rhubarb's quite bitter. But again, put it in a saline solution, and you put like blackcurrant leaves in between to set up the reaction. And the rhubarb actually went sweet. And you could keep it for like a year. And a six-month-old rhubarb, you take it out sweet with ice cream and honey. He was like the king of Sweden's gardener. By God, was it good.
It was.
But when I was a kid, we blew the kitchen up twice, actually. First one was the old-fashioned pressure cooker. And my mum was doing mushy peas, but had a rubber seal in the top, and she looked over it, and the seal went. And honestly, this pressure vessel... Now, pressure cookers, people are frightened these days. It doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
So you're all right. Old days, we're talking about 1960s. Anyway, under pressure, a kilo of mushy peas blew out through the top, straight all over my mother.
No.
And it was on the ceiling and everywhere. Like, I remember as a kid, I just went there going, Green Giant! Oh, ho, ho! Slap. Another time.
With your mother with burns all over her.
Yeah, you know, it's like at Christmas. I used to get toys with batteries. But you know, like, my family was skint to get one set of batteries. So by Christmas Day lunchtime...
I know what you're going to say.
It's gone, hasn't it? Your batteries are gone. Dad says, warm the batteries a bit. You'll get a bit of life out of them. What he meant was just stand them, you know, just warm them up a little bit. You know, sometimes with your remote, if you scribble them about, you get a little squirt out with the batteries. So I put my batteries in the oven. Mummy goes to look at the turkey. Boom!
No, disaster.
You're complete not a bloody liability when you were little as well. You made that thing and you made
an aeroplane
and launched yourself off the back wall.
And broke your thumbs.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, God, to tell the good people how we blew a chef's kitchen. When we did Food Tour of Britain, within like Michelin starred chef's
that
kitchen.
That was your fault, no.
Yeah, no, it was a great idea, not.
Frosty man, tell
it
us.
It was down at... Down at Reed's, a wonderful restaurant outside Faversham, which has since become... And he was so kind to us. And we were cooking a Dover sole with a beer, Shepherd and Neem beer Sabayon, because we were competing against him. Oh. But anyway, we had this idea. At the time, crispy fried kale was the garnish of choice.
Oh, yes.
However, what did we do?
We decided to deep fry bladder rack.
Seaweed.
Now, the only problem is that they have little pockets of moisture that then, when you put it in the hot fat, exploded with great velocity all over us, the kitchen. Like, it was everywhere. And me and Dave were looking at each other going, and we just went, I think we've just got to leg it. That's what we did.
Dave is one of these chefs who's like Michelin star, really dedicated and committed. He looked at us, just shook his head, because his kitchen was just...
Disappointed in him. So but disappointed.
It gets worse though, Tash. Our Sabayon split, right? Yeah. So David stepped in and saved the Sabayon. And then he actually dressed it on our Dover sole. We served it to the blind tasting panel, and we won, we beat him.
Brilliant. So actually, the only bit you did was cook the fish. That's it.
That was, yeah,
fundamentally. Yeah, we put it under the grill.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was so funny because since we've seen him, and he just, but he's, you know, the good thing is actually on camera, we said as much, and you can see, you can see David saving our bacon and also blowing his kitchen up. So actually, it came out of it really well. And there was this terrible irony when we won. But it was shown on telly that we were two buffoons, really. No.
Well,
we'd never do that. No, we'd never do that to people. But it was
good story though. It's amazing how you got your job.
No, it never ceases to amaze us.
I haven't got a blowing up story, but I do know that a good friend of ours wanted to hide their Nintendo Switch from their kid. And said, didn't know where to put it. So you're not using it again this weekend. You're not having it. I'm over it. No more screen time. But always knew the kid would find it somewhere. And then thought, brilliant. I'll tell you where the kid doesn't look. And that's in the oven. So stuck it in the oven to hide it. So the kid couldn't find it to use it. And on Sunday, went to cook a Sunday roast and stuck the oven on to warm it all up. It was all lovely. And there was a funny smell going on. And then, of course, opened the oven to put the chicken in. And there is one fantastically melted Nintendo Switch.
Whoa.
Sitting in the oven, but ruined the oven as well. So not only, but a kid, then she had to go and buy her son another one to apologise. So she lost out all round. And the kid won at the end of the day. He got all his screen time.
I think to the dear people who presented with a problem,
yes.
You think you've got problems.
Yeah.
You should see what we've been through.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
That's nout.
Yeah, nout. Just bad hygiene practices, I think.
That's it.
Yeah. Clean your act up, sterilise your jars.
Maybe we need to think about a good product for cleaning up. Maybe that's what we should be supporting here. We need to talk about Sif or something.
Oh, hey, listen, Zaflora. Honestly, my mum used it for years and years and years and years. And I still use it to this day. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
It smells nice.
It does smell nice. Yeah. In the lavender one, you can get like different smells. But the lavender one, I always wondered why old people smelt of lavender. And that's the reason. Lavender water, lavender Zaflora, but she used to use it on everything.
And they suck Parma violets as well. Yeah. Adds to the whole purple experience.
Yeah, it was, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I didn't know about Zaflora until COVID, and then I became obsessed by it. And now
I love it.
I love it. It's absolutely brilliant stuff.
Yeah, but Mr. Muscle, that's the one.
Yeah, Mr. Muscle.
I look like the fella off the... Look at this, me baldy head. I look like the fella off the Mr. Muscle bottle.
Actually, Dave, I got a video of you yesterday. I took a shot of you yesterday at the pageant, and everything's all... You're very sort of look very smart and lovely and lovely. And then I've got this moment of you where you're just punching the air. You look like a real muscle man, but I caught you in this moment where you've got this real strongman armour. I'll send you the photo later.
Send that for the wife. Right? Need all the help I can get at the minute, mate.
Food makes everything better.
Okay, continuing now with the Hairy Bikers Agony Uncles podcast, brought to you by Zaflora and Mr. Muscle. The unwelcome guest, part one. I need one female name and one male name. So a female name, Uncle Si, and a male name, Uncle Dave, please.
Felicity.
Felicity.
Bernard.
Felicity and Bernard.
Normally it'd be Gary and Tracy, but seeing who's been up the mall.
Felicity and Bernard. Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, this comes from Felicity. She says, please help me. I think I'm going to go mad. My husband's brother, Bernard, came to stay with us for a couple of weeks after his relationship ended. That was a year ago.
Oh,
at first he was grateful for the help, but now he just behaves like it's his permanent home. As if this wasn't bad enough, he's also a mood hoover, so any time hubby and I want to enjoy something, he manages to suck the fun out of it. Like when my husband got promoted and got a fairly decent pay rise, his brother just said, well, you know there's a recession coming, so don't get too used to the money. He eats our food, drinks our beer, seems to have a permanent wind problem, and hasn't once offered to pay anything towards anything, despite him working full-time. My husband says, well, we can't throw him out, and his brother seems impervious to hints. I don't know how to solve this one. Please help before I just move out myself. That comes from Felicity.
Right.
Save the locks.
Yeah, see, Tash, yeah, the voice of reasons, it's all gone now, hasn't it?
Change the locks, that's it.
Oh, Felicity, you've got to have this out with your husband. It's his brother, it's his responsibility. And yes, there's a definite time scale there. Or indeed, maybe set another time scale. Go, look, a month, it'll do him a favour, get him out of his lethargy, get him back into life. He said he's working so he can afford something. But it's not fair for that person to destroy your life.
No, and also your brother should just man up and grow a set. You know, the fact of the matter is, as Dave says, it's his brother, it's his gig, and he's living in your house. And that's just fundamentally wrong. And if he's being a complete knacker and not actually offering to help in either financially or otherwise, like, what's your husband playing at? I mean, like, it's at his door, really.
Yeah, he might be the brother, but he's still a guest in your home.
Absolutely.
And you know, I think as a guest, one needs to respect that. And he's overstepping his boundaries, isn't he?
I just think, who does that? I would sit so uncomfortably, conscious, even if I stay at someone's house for the night, I'm thinking, can I help with the dishwasher? You bought your flowers, thank you so much.
Yes, exactly.
Morally have manners to thank people or to offer, even if they decline the offer of, can I pay or can I do something? But it sounds like he's just taking the mickey here.
And I think it's one of those things where familiarity has bred contempt. And I think that's horrible. It's a horrible position to be in, particularly for her. So I think practically you need to sit down with your husband and go, this is the crack, and actually give him a time scale. Go, right, look, he needs to be another 3 months. We'll give him chance to pull himself together, give him chance to actually find somewhere to live. But it's either 3 months, it's him or me. Make your decision, but I'm not having it anymore. End of story.
I wouldn't say him or me. I'm just saying, look, it's Felicity's house. So therefore, she has a say in it.
God, yeah.
And do you know what I mean? So I don't think she should even think of leaving her home.
Yeah, no, that is true.
Do you know what I mean?
It's true. Yeah.
But I think she does need to get her husband to come up and realise that this is quite serious for her. She really can't put up with this much longer. And she clearly is, you know, putting the hard work and effort in. And it's very hard having a third person, I'd say, living with you all the time that you can't feel that comfortable with and telling them what to do, or you're having to feed them or cook for them or buy for them. I think she needs to know it's pretty serious for her. But it's a bit of a deal breaker. I wouldn't leave her own home, I agree, but I would give him a bit of a deal breaker.
Yeah, I'd push him a bit, yeah, just to kind of go sort it out, mate.
Maybe, you know what, it would actually be good for him as well. Maybe he needs the kick. Maybe there's a reason he's not going to get a job or doing things. Maybe he does need to be taken aside. And there's no one else around that's going to do that if it's not the family. The brother needs to realise he's responsible for him. And if he's being so responsible to pay for him and look after him, he's also responsible to pick him up again and get on your own 2 feet and, you know, have your own life without us. I think that's fair.
Sounds as though Bernard has got complacent as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no bills, no worries. And, you know, it's a very seductive kind of role to be in, really. Especially if Bernard, presumably, was there any indication why Bernard has been out on his ear, Mark?
Only that his relationship ended, they said. That was
all right, so at the moment he's in that tranquil zone, isn't it? So Bernard's relationship's ended. So let's give Bernard the benefit of the doubt, saying he's had a rough old time, he's been kicked out. So he's kind of drifted into this lethargy, this kind of safe place. And he needs a bit of a kick up the jacksie, doesn't he?
He does. I think Dave has been incredibly kind.
I do. It's a year later, Dave. I mean, a year. You have your bad month, then you got your bad 6 months, then you get through, I think, a year later, that's not a bad time anymore. We can all pick ourselves up after a bad relationship after
a year. No, it's time to get it sorted.
It is.
And all move on.
Defo.
Well, thank you. That's excellent advice for the unwelcome guest part one. But now we have the unwelcome guest part two. And for this, we need a lady's name. Tash, would you be able to provide? Let's see what you come up with, bearing in mind you've been on the bus.
Shall I go the other way?
Go on.
I don't know. Female. Do we need female?
Female, please.
I don't know, Sharon will do me.
Sharon is... This comes from Sharon, who says, "Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, I'm getting married for the second time this autumn and we're just getting the guest list together. My first marriage ended very amicably and my ex and I jointly care for our son and our daughter, aged 13 and 10, who will both be there as they live with me most of the time. However, my new husband-to-be is upset with me because I've invited my ex-husband to the wedding. Admittedly, I didn't discuss this with my new man first, but only because I didn't think he'd mind. I think it'll be nice for my children for him to be there, but my fiancé says it'll be really weird to have my ex there and he doesn't want him to come. But if I say he can't come now, that will then upset my ex. Any advice on how to resolve this? Unwelcome guest, issue number two. Over to you."
Well, you've got to be really grown up about it for the kids' sake, really. I mean, I come into a relationship with two stepchildren, and all I can say is that there were Lil's children who I've kind of, they're grown up now, but I love them dearly, and I know they've got a lot of love for me too. It's been really successful. I'm so proud of them. But the key to it working has, I've always respected the fact I've let Lil deal with it, and I've gone along with what she said. It's like the kids' graduations. Of course their dads should be there. And they're about to, my stepson's about to be married. At some point, he's engaged. Of course, we're both going to be there. And, you know, all I can say is, at first, this is different because it's early days, it's their wedding. I think you need to discuss it. Maybe with the ex-husband, ask if he wants to be there. Do you know what I mean? Because they need to discuss it together about what's best for them all as a family, because it can work. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I'm going to play devil's advocate slightly, though, on this one. I'm concerned that she's saying, I don't want to upset my ex. Well, actually, at this point, it's not about him, is it? And it's not really about the children either. It's their wedding and her new future. And I appreciate the children might like that, to have him around. But that day is not about her relationship with her ex-husband or the children's relationship with their father. It's about her having a new relationship and moving forward. And I think the ex-husband could possibly go, is it really right I'm there? You know, and there may be one, and I know you've got great relationships, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's great. I appreciate that I don't have that experience. However, I worry that she shouldn't worry about offending her ex on that day. She should worry about offending her new husband.
I kind of think the ex-husband should be invited for the children's sake, but then he should be the one to say, no, not on this occasion, but... or maybe come to the party afterwards. Do you know what I mean? As a compromise. It's all about compromise, really, trying to keep everybody happy. And I think everybody needs to be really mature about it, and it can work.
And look, you know, it's that thing, instead of giving people diktats, it's just about having the confidence and the courage to actually discuss it. Because when there's emotions involved, it's really difficult to discuss, isn't it, sometimes? And when you know, if you have an amicable relationship... I'll give you, for instance, my ex-wife and I, Jane, we've discussed whether it's Alex's wedding, and we've discussed whether we're going to bring partners or you know, but we've decided not to. Now, there's no other reason, you know, that other than we just didn't think it was appropriate, particularly. So, but we've discussed it. And it wasn't a big, deep and meaningful conversation. It was just like, kid, are you bringing anybody? No, I just didn't think so, you know. And I mean, I know that whoever we would bring would be made very welcome, and it would be a really happy occasion. There's no issue there. But it's about, if one of you doesn't agree, then you can't. Do you know what I mean? I'm kind of with you a little bit.
What you've done, Si, has created a united front for your kid as well. I love that idea that he's got his mum and dad there on his special day, and I'm sure he'd be absolutely fine if you brought partners. He's got his parents there, united to see their product that they made step forward into his new life as well. I think that's...
With respect to Sharon, though, I think we're both coming from a position of being over a decade down that line.
Absolutely.
And feelings do change. Mm-hmm. For Sharon and her new husband and the kids, it might all be quite raw. So it's a different agenda then.
It is.
I mean, I suppose take assurance that if you can manage it, then a decade down the line, you can achieve a degree of civility and courtesy and peace for everybody concerned.
That's very true.
You know, and that's the thing. That's
very true.
It's about being open and honest at that point, I think.
And just have the conversation. Have the conversation with you. If you've got an amicable relationship, just have the conversation. Just say to them, look, my new husband's not particularly keen. It's not that he doesn't like you. I just think
it's his wedding, isn't it?
It's his wedding as well, you know.
And also, the new husband possibly needs to have a bit more conviction in knowing his relationship's really strong, and he's got her, and he's marrying her, and actually the past is the past, and maybe he needs to get a bit stronger and go look it for the kids. You know, I can rule it out.
I think as Dave says, it's a very different. It depends what the timescale is, because it becomes a very different scenario when you, as Dave was saying, 10 years down the line. I think that's.
Yeah, I've got to admit, at my wedding to Lil, her ex didn't come to the wedding.
Yeah.
Mind you, I think that probably his decision. But there again, you know, the relationship between the kids and the dad's always been really open. And, you know, meet up as often as either one wants to.
Yeah.
You know, want to. It's just been open. And that's due to Lil managing it, really. You know, taking it out of my hands. And but never compromising me either.
But I think that's it, though. Even if you did have some say in it, and I'm sure you and Lil discuss it, it's kind of just one of those things, isn't it? It's kind of, you know, it's always in agreement, if you like. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, now those years down the line, it's simply the way it is.
Yes,
quite. You know, and
you respect for each other as well. If you love someone, you respect them, and I think that she's respected you, and you've respected her. And then that's key.
Yeah, and ultimatums, really.
No. You have to avoid the ultimatum thing, because that's just damaging for everybody, including the kids.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk.
Don't get drunk.
Just send an email
to the Agony Uncles.
It's time to head over to Confidential Corner. Today's confidential corner is called My Drunken Disgrace.
Oh, Kingy, it's someone for you.
One for Zaya, definitely.
Yes, what are you saying?
Yes, this comes from a Mr. Simon King.
Now, does it?
We need one lady and one man's name, please. Uncle Si. Man's name, Uncle Dave, lady's name.
Barry.
Barry?
And Wendy.
Barry and Wendy. Well, here we go. Dear Uncle Si and Uncle Dave, I've got a communication problem, this is appropriate enough, and I don't know how to solve it. I'm in a fairly new relationship with a lovely man, Barry. We're both in our 40s, and I'd been single for 7 years before we got together. We've booked a weekend away, which would be the first time that we had spent the night together. Because it had been so long since I'd been intimate with anyone, I was very, very nervous. We booked dinner at the restaurant in the hotel, and as far as I can remember, I got very drunk very quickly. I didn't mean to. I was just really excited, but also bricking myself about the whole night, so I got very wrecked. The next thing I remember is that it was morning. I felt terrible, and I was in a different hotel room with Barry, who found it quite difficult to look at me. We drove home pretty silently, and he dropped me home. That was 6 weeks ago, and in the intervening period, I discovered what happened that night. It seems that I passed out into my French onion soup. So I was carried back to my room by my fella with the help of one of the hotel staff. He then put me to bed, only to wake up when I was not only violently sick all over him, but I also had explosive diarrhea, also all over him. The room smelt so bad that we were moved to a new room, and my fella paid a hefty cleaning bill. I saw this bill on his desk at his house and phoned the hotel to ask what it was for, which is how I found out.
Oh, God.
Obviously, I am completely mortified, and we've since met up several times, but not a word of this has been mentioned, and the longer it goes on, the more awkward it gets. Should I mention it, or should I just leave it as something that we must never speak of? Please help, Wendy.
Try and see the funny side of it. Do you know what I mean? It's like your first big date. Obviously, you're still seeing each other, so there's a magic there. get it out in the open.
Absolutely.
I was going to say have a good clear out, but you obviously have already.
Yes.
Now left, is there?
No. Wendy's an empty vessel. Our Wend, she's got it all out.
All of it.
I absolutely agree with Dave. That's what you do. You could just go look. And actually, her explanation is really quite lovely. I mean, the aftermath isn't, but her explanation absolutely is, because she kind of just, that's dead honest. And just say, look, I was bricking myself. You know, what a lovely thing to, you know.
I think he must be such a decent man to have gone through that on a first date, trying to be intimate, got a bit too intimate there. Too much, you know. Wendy took it to another level, and then he's stayed in contact. He hasn't mentioned it. He hasn't mortified her in public. He hasn't got cross, and he's been on other dates. I'm thinking, hold on to him. He sounds great.
Yeah, I think have a laugh, a kiss, and a cuddle. And Wendy just say, look, it sounds out of character. And well, I was telling you yesterday about that story with me and Lil.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we were talking about this. The only time I've had to carry her. Oh, God, the children will find out now. Right, it was New Year's Eve in Berlin, right? I don't know, what's that strip of land known going up to the Brandenburg Gate? Amazing on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Parties, festival stages. And Lil had been on the Jaeger bombs and God knows what else and strange German cocktails. All of a sudden, got a tap on the shoulder as I was out there going, Eins, zwei, drei, you know, countdown or up or whatever.
Other way.
I was having a thoroughly good time, so I said, I think it's a wife. You need to look after her. And there she was, lying on the floor outside the Brandenburg Gate. So I carried her back to the hotel, and she was really kind of noisy as well, in like spitting Eastern European venom about why I was taking her home. In fact, she couldn't walk.
It was like, by the by. I mean,
now, we had a prosperous year, so we were staying at the Ritz, in the Ritz-Carlton in Berlin, and we had a little suite. And any roads up, that you get all sorts of treats in Germany. And one of these ones was, we had top hats, right? So we got back to, I got her into the room, and by the time I got her back, I was absolutely exhausted. Anyway, she chugged in my top hat.
Oh, Lil.
I know. And the next day, I remembered nothing. And I was gutted. This is my top hat from the Ritz, and it was full of barf.
That's not great. Maybe that's what Wendy should have taken with her. She could have just sat on the hat. Oh, that's what I was saying yesterday. You can pee in policemen's hats now. Now those hats have come back. What are they called? What's the a pith helmet, isn't it? Is it?
Right.
No, that's details of the Raj, Nash. Okay.
Which is obviously clearly your
childhood.
Yes. Childhood.
The policeman's hats, the hard ones, they took them off the beat years ago and they brought them back in again recently. And the one thing I always remember is that a pregnant woman's allowed, if they're desperate for the loo, they're allowed to pee in a policeman's hat. They can take it off and you can pee in it. So maybe,
really?
There you go. Yeah. So you need to find a policeman. But I just think Lil did well. She kept it contained. She found a vessel, the closest one. She did well. She didn't do it all over the bed.
She was marking a territory all the way back down the...
Oh. You know,
we have to laugh, actually. Then there's we've done some terrible things. Remember that time in the Isle of Man, Kingy? I was in a skip. But what was weird, I looked up and he was weeing on me.
I know, but I wasn't weeing on you purposely. You just hadn't moved your leg.
Thanks. We've all been there, Wendy.
But don't you worry, Wend.
We've all been there.
I went out with a girl once and she went, oh, I'll not be a minute. And I went, where are you going? I mean, this was in my teens, obviously, before I met Jean. And she goes, where are you going? She goes, I'm going for a walk. I goes, well, there's no toilets here. And literally, she lifted her skirt up, dropped her pants, and had a wee next to a bin. I was so horrified. I was horrified. And I just remember thinking, I don't want to go out with girls like this.
Really, I think bad. That whole girl squatting down peeing is mortifying. You know me, as I said before, we don't make smells, we don't make noises. We need to lie peacefully when we're asleep. But when I was with my boyfriend, we drove through France once, pre-marriage, just dating, open-top sports car, all very beautiful, thinking it was great. And I was in that sort of mode of the relationship where I wanted to appear perfect at all times. And then I was absolutely desperate. I had been drinking a bit and I was in the passenger seat. I was desperate for a pee. And so we pulled over and I ran into the vineyard of Fleury and had a wee behind the wall. So there's a lovely vintage out there somewhere. I helped it grow. Worst bit is my husband took a photo. He snuck over the wall and took a photo of me weeing. So when we got home and developed the photos, there's me squatting down with the skirt round my ears in the Fleury vineyard. I was mortified, but he thought it was his.
Trust you.
But you got married, though. You're still married.
No, you're still married. You like that.
Yeah, see.
You like the moon in the Fleury vineyard. It looked good.
Yeah, well, I think... Look upon it, Wendy, as a bonding experience. Because after this, you're never going to do it again.
No, of course.
So it's just like, get over it, laugh. And obviously, he's entitled to bring it up on occasions, maybe once every 3 years, you know, just to embarrass you in front of the grandchildren.
Yeah, that
but, you know, that's fair enough.
That's
it's
awful.
It's unfortunate, but, you know, he's looked after you, Wendy.
Yeah, he has. You could look at it like that.
I'd have done a runner.
I think many would.
So it looks like Barry's a keeper.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, talk about it and have a laugh. I'm sure if he was that mortified, he wouldn't be there, Chuck.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely bang on, Dave.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the Agony Uncles a line.
Well, thank you so much for listening to all of you sending your troubles. Thank you for trusting us, even if it is misplaced. The Agony Uncles with your problems.
Yes, so don't forget, if you don't send your emails in and your problems, we haven't got a show. So keep them coming because we absolutely love it. We love reading it. You're a great bunch. And the email address to send them to is agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk.
Yeah, we love to hear from you. And we'll try and help you with your traumas.
Indeed.
Remember, can you follow this podcast, please? And then a new one will pop into your life every Friday morning. It's an early weekend ray of sunshine for you all, from us to you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And then also, if you don't follow it, like, tell your mates. You know, tell your mates about it, because that's always a good one as well, you know. Right, so from Posh Tash.
Bye.
And from the Thin White Duke.
Bye-bye.
And from us.
Bye-bye, Elbow.
See you, good dudes. Have a lovely, lovely week. God bless you all.
Hi, my name is Kay Adams, and to be honest, I'm not so good with the ageing process, so I enlisted my old chum, the filter-free Cara McKenzie, to advise.
Could you imagine being a porn star? The room would need to be really hot for me to strip off.
To be honest, she's not much help, but she is rather amusing. And along with some great guests, Joe Brand, Andy Oliver, Anton Dubek, Ruth Langsford, and Craig Revel Horwood, darling, we are learning how to be 60. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.